Shall we play a game?
Is that a Unix book?
You didn't say the magic word.
The files are in the computer?
We're only using a simple polyphonetically grouped 20-square digit key transpose from booster phonic form with multiple nulls.
After very careful consideration, sir, I've come to the conclusion that your new defense systems suck.
So the combination is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
So it's a code breaker. No, it's the code breaker.
Welcome to another episode of the Cyber Tap. Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Got a good episode today. We're going to talk about an aerospace defense manufacturer that was ransomwared. And then right in line with that, we're going to talk about the Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification, CMMC, coming out from the Department of Defense. We've got a full house, don't we, Mike?
We are absolutely packed.
Yeah, we're in the studio at capacity with both guest chairs and guest mics being used. So the first person to introduce and welcome back to the show, George Bailey.
Thank you.
That's it. Thank you. That's all we
moving on.
So as you all know, George is one of our resident experts. It's great to have him here. He's going to help us unpack the news. But we also have Gene Jones from the Manufacturing Extension Partnership. Hi, Gene.
Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me.
Well, it's great to have you. It's your first time on our show. First time on a podcast. Am I hearing that correctly?
That's right. First time podcaster and forever listener.
Well, we're excited to have you, Gene. Why don't you just take a second? George has been on with us before, so he had a chance to introduce himself previously. But Gene, why don't you introduce yourself? Tell us a little bit about what you do for MEP.
Well, I'm the program manager for the Defense Cybersecurity Assurance Program. It's funded by Department of Defense Office of Economic Adjustment by some regional institutions. And it's funded to Purdue Manufacturing Extension Partnership, and Purdue MEP is a part of the National NIST MEP Network.
All right. Thanks, Gene. And again, it's great to have you here. So
we brought them in to raise the intellect level of our podcast.
And the command of the English language and all those things. And so
with them, I think we've averaged out to 2 smart people.
Yeah, probably. Well, let's see how smart they are. Let's get into it.
So for our next feature, we're going to be highlighting the article that came from TechCrunch titled "Visser, a parts manufacturer for Tesla and SpaceX confirms data breach."
Yeah, so Visser's a precision manufacturer of aerospace and defense parts. So I think we want to take a closer look at this article. So George, what'd you find out from this one?
So the Visser Precision was a victim of the Doppler-Paymer ransomware attack. What's interesting about that particular strain of ransomware is that it's not how we think of malware. It's usually implanted by the adversary. It's not a point and click where once you're infected, it starts to immediately encrypt and lock your files. Their whole motive is to get the ransom out of their victims. So what we don't know, the article doesn't really tell how long Visser Precision was potentially compromised before.
There's a good chance they don't know. A persistent type threat, they don't maybe don't know how long somebody was there yet.
It's too early to tell who the bad actors are. Likely an APT. It could be based on the target, right? So being precision manufacturers, who their clientele, SpaceX, Tesla, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, right? A nice pedigree of clients.
Do we know if those were the only ones that were part of the breach?
I combed through a number of articles, and I found a few others, but those are the folks that
the big
understand
names,
cyber very
big profiles.
Well.
Yeah.
So we're starting to learn a little bit about this story. So it's a Doppler-Paymer, right? George, do you know what vectors it usually travels on, or how does it usually get introduced to a network, or kind of what it uses to navigate around the network? Anything?
So initially, it starts with credential compromise. So maybe a phishing attack was how they initially got in. And who they phished could have been a normal user.
Right.
And they're looking for remote access to some means. So RDP, remote desktop protocol, Windows terminal services, is typically how adversaries will get into an environment. It could have been a VPN credential that was compromised. And once they get inside the network, they try to laterally move and find, easier targets to compromise. Mm-hmm. The goal of, getting a remote shell on a server or a desktop where they can start to laterally move across the organization, look for data, because this type of ransomware is they exfiltrate data, they find interesting data that they think that the victim will want to protect.
Mm-hmm.
So the goal is, we're going to ransom your environment, encrypt your data, but also exfiltrate data so that if you don't pay the ransom, we will start to release.
So the TechCrunch article started talking about that, right, Mike?
Yeah. In December, security staffing firm Allied Universal was one of the first companies that had sensitive employees and business data published after the company declined to pay $2.3 million ransom for the data. Actually, that's an example of
So that's the motive. That's kind of their tactics. We don't know what the ransom demand was for this particular compromise. It's probably on par with $2 million.
So that one was an example of how Doppelpaymer had been executed in the past, right? So this was a company that chose not to pay a really large ransom, and they started dropping the information. They exfiltrated data, as you said, and then they started dropping it out in the public. And we saw that here as well with Visser.
That's how the compromise was identified, because some NDAs and some other seemingly sensitive documents were found posted online by a security researcher.
Yeah, so I see in another article I was looking at from ThreatPost, it mentions a gentleman by the name of Brett Callow, who's a threat analyst at anti-malware security firm MSASoft, discovered documents, a series of non-disclosure agreements Visser has with companies, including SpaceX, Tesla, Honeywell, General Dynamics. And I've seen Lockheed, Boeing, and a number of other companies mentioned as well in other articles. So what's the valuable target of a company like this, an aerospace defense manufacturer? Why go after them specifically? Do you think there's some motivation there?
So they want those primes, right? The mm-hmm. target is likely Boeing, Lockheed Martin, and Tesla, SpaceX, right? They're looking for intellectual property.
Okay.
And if they can ransom your files, that's great. But at the end of the day, they're probably going to sell your data on the dark web anyway.
So the intellectual property. So if Visser's making, as a supply chain provider to these major defense manufacturers, they're looking for the IP associated with whatever they might be manufacturing for them, right?
Absolutely.
So I think it's important that, you know, we recognize how critical it is for defense manufacturers to validate their supply chain to make sure not only they're protected. So we have to assume that companies like SpaceX, like Lockheed, are pretty good at cybersecurity.
You know, that one of the takeaways that I inferred from the article is knowing who their clientele are. You know, Boeing, Lockheed Martin, they certainly understand cyber. They've been in the defense industry for a long, long time. They vet their vendors,
right?
So it's not easy to become a supplier of Boeing or Lockheed Martin. So it makes me believe that Visser Precision at least understands basic hygiene to the level where it's a sophisticated adversary that they're dealing with. So this isn't a script kiddie. This likely wasn't a drive-by infection that someone was browsing the web and just was a victim of circumstance.
Yeah, it's certainly not saying that Visser's not good at cyber, but if you're a Lockheed Boeing supplier, you have to know that you're certainly going to be a target of sophisticated attacks just by nature, because you have some piece of the intellectual property that's important to nation states, to whoever.
I would agree with that statement.
So the published articles indicate that they released the non-disclosure agreements, which is not really that valuable of information. Is the assumption that they have more valuable information they could release?
Yes, that's the inference.
George, we know that the Lockheeds and the Boeings and SpaceX, we know these are strong companies, good tech backgrounds, strong cybersecurity. And Visser probably is the same, because no one is immune to a cyber attack, right? If there's a target, you have something of value, and there's an adversary that is motivated, they'll keep coming and coming and coming. So this type of attack, ransomware, Doppelpaymer specifically, what are companies to do to try to start to thwart these attacks? What do you have recommendations?
Yeah, so knowing the sophistication of the adversary, they're going to target the employees. It starts with phishing. It could be when an employee is on business travel, something that could be simple as a social media interaction. Mm-hmm. Could be the first tell sign that you are being targeted. So I think security awareness to all roles in organizations is key, because people need to understand that who they're servicing, their clientele, are highly targeted organizations. And if you happen to be what may be viewed as the low-hanging fruit, you're going to be targeted.
So we sell some phishing services, and there's lots of phishing services out.
It's a commodity product.
It's a commodity product.
Lots of people do a very good job with it.
But what's amazing here is that when we do phish testings here internally, when we see some of our other partner companies, I'm looking over at producer Jim right now, when we see some of their reports on the click rates, it's embarrassing. So you can get a really bad phish attempt and get a significant click rate through your employee base.
Yeah. So I think what organizations need to do is try to alleviate the noise, right? Their employees are busy doing their jobs.
Yeah.
Try to put good defenses at the layer that is transparent to the end users, right? So if you allow them to surf the web, put some content filters in so that we know that as soon as an advertising feed gets compromised and it gets detected by the security vendors, your users are protected. Right.
Right.
Start to look at DNS and where people are browsing and just be knowledgeable what's going on in your environment.
Yeah. So again, nobody's immune, especially if you have something of value to someone else. But it's good to know that there's things to be done. And I did read in one of the follow-up articles that Visser's back to business as usual now. I'm sure they're still doing some triage, some recovery, but they're working. And I mean, that's all we can really hope for in these situations is to try to get back to operations as soon as possible.
Yeah, what we don't know is the article didn't talk about the scope or the impact, right? So they said it was business as usual. So we don't know if it was a single user's laptop ransomware that happened to have data on it that was of interest to the adversaries. We don't know if it was a server. We don't know if it was even a segment that had access to any of their clients. So just because Visser Precision was compromised doesn't mean that Boeing, SpaceX, all their clients, their security has not been impacted. There's lots of questions that I have.
Well, thanks, George. I think it's always fun to unpack these stories.
You're welcome.
And it's a good opportunity now for us to start to look at what our feature is today. So our features on the cybersecurity maturity model certification. Thanks, Gene. I know you had to help
work that one out.
Had to work that one out a little bit. So we're going to talk about CMMC, but first, before we do, Gene, we got to take a second because Mike worked up a great quote about rockets to get in that first segment, and we totally left him hanging. I never teed it up for him, and so Mike, the mic is yours.
Okay, here we go, folks.
Blast off.
You know we're sitting on 4 million pounds of fuel, one nuclear weapon, and a thing that has 270,000 moving parts built by the lowest bidder. Makes you feel good, doesn't it? Armageddon. Underrated movie, don't at me.
You wouldn't find him on social media anyway, even if you wanted to at Mike Johnson. Okay, Mike, you got your movie quote in.
I did.
And if you've listened to any of our first few episodes, movie quotes, we speak them, we love them, and it's all about who we are. So thanks, Gene, for allowing us that momentary digression.
I have derailed the conversation. Job is done. I'll go home.
But that's all right.
I enjoyed that rocket quote yesterday in a defense seminar for cybersecurity. I used Johnny Cash quotes.
Nice.
Oh, well, we love a Johnny. I love a Johnny Cash quote. What'd you use, Gene?
Oh, Ring of Fire, yeah. I Walk the Line. You're the standard.
It's all
Cash
good.
Quotes.
I mean, you can probably build an entire talk around that, around cybersecurity. So going down the Ring of Fire. I mean, there's... You can use that metaphor for a lot in cybersecurity.
So
walk the line. I mean, that's beautiful.
So what I did was in order to keep it interesting, I was giving a cybersecurity presentation after lunch. I said, if anyone can catch me using a Johnny Cash quote, I'll give you a $5 Starbucks gift card. And I was caught twice.
I would like that same deal, folks.
We'll do that with the so's if you can catch the so's.
No, if you give $5 for every time I say so, our entire budget, which is zero for this podcast, if you haven't been able to tell, We'd be cooked.
We'd actually need to get sponsors to cover the costs.
Exactly. Well, we probably should get back on track and talk about CMMC, because that's why Gene is here from the Manufacturing Extension Partnership. Again, thanks, Gene, for joining. We want to talk about CMMC because it's going to try to tackle this problem of the defense manufacturing industry or defense supplier industry beyond just manufacturing, making it more robust. CMMC is coming out, hopefully to help. So, Gene, why don't you tell our listeners a little bit about what CMMC is?
Sure, glad to. CMMC is the Cybersecurity Maturity Model Certification. It was released on the 31st of January, version one of that model. And what it does is it's defense's first attempt at developing a unified cybersecurity model for all of the Defense Department. It takes into account standards from the NIST 800 special publication 800-171, safeguarding controlled unclassified information on non-federal systems, and various other international standards to build this one unified standard. It has five levels, Matt. Level one is basic cybersecurity through level five, which is advanced cybersecurity. Most of the clients we serve who are manufacturers are going to need to be at level three in order to receive controlled unclassified information.
And so I'm going to pause just for a second, Gene. So in essence, they're going to have some level of maturity in cybersecurity. I want to say this is
the first M.
But I want to say this very clearly. They're going to need some level of cybersecurity to maintain DoD contracts and continue working, or to gain or to get win, if you will, those contracts, correct?
That's correct. In fact, in order for a contract to be awarded in the future, a company in the defense industrial supply base must have a certification before that contract is awarded. So
it's
very true.
Does that affect existing contracts with the government?
No, it's not. It does not affect currently existing contracts. It will be added to new contracts, and hopefully in a few minutes we'll talk about the schedule.
Yeah, sure. So, and we're talking a little bit about the what of CMMC, and I think we started to touch on the why, but from your perspective, why is CMMC coming out now? What's critical about it? Why is it important? Anything you have to offer on the why of CMMC?
Well, sure. It's just one point on the what that I failed to mention just a couple of minutes ago, and that is that this...
No, we're moving on.
Mike, this is a brand new guest we have. He's never going to come back if you don't be nice to him.
Take it easy on me. It's my first podcast. Well, the last what that I want to mention is that we're moving out of self-attestation and we're moving to third-party verification, which is a very important part of CMMC. A third party will come to a company site and verify that they've attained the security controls required by a specific level. So now the why. It goes back many years, but let me just give you the synopsis. If you look back in the 2013 to 2015 timeframe, there are a couple of key reports came out. One by the Defense Science Board Task Force, which indicated that there was some uncertainty whether the nation could defend itself mm-hmm. if it were the victim of a persistent cyber attack during or not during wartime. That was a key eye-opener, and that was quickly followed by a MITRE report, Deliver Uncompromised, which provided significant recommendations about what we should do with the supply chain. So over time, the Defense Federal Acquisition Regulation was updated to include a cybersecurity requirement, the standard being NIST 800-171, but that was a self-attestation model. So the real why...
What did you say? It was a fancy word.
Self-attestation.
That's a fancy... It's basically checking on yourself. You're submitting yourself as being good at something.
We're getting beat up by the inventor of Scrabble.
Yeah, I know. Well, but here's the thing, though, Matt. The vast majority of companies that are currently signing DoD contracts that they comply with the current regulation, the DFARS requirement, really don't meet it.
Right.
And so DoD, because of the grave urgency and the grave stakes that are at play here, DoD had to move out of that self-check model into a third-party independent verification.
Yeah, and that's interesting. The why, you know, is what we're talking about here, CMMC. The real root cause here is that people other than the United States would love to get their hands on intellectual property that belongs to the United States defense industry.
And you just talked about a great example in Visser, but there are other really egregious examples.
Sure.
Joint Strike Fighter. Many of the plans were stolen for the Joint Strike Fighter.
Yeah, there's kind of knockoffs of that.
Right.
Another, out there already.
another big black eye for the Navy was Sea Dragon, where our supersonic missile launched from submarines. Many of the plans for that were stolen. So there are just numerous examples of why our defense industrial base is one, targeted, and two, has to be strengthened in order for our nation to be stronger, certainly in the area of cybersecurity.
So where are we now on the timeline, and when will be the next milestone?
Well, version one of the CMMC model was released on the 31st of January. And based upon a press release from Katie Arrington, who's the CISO for the Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition and Sustainment, the conceptual schedule is as follows. And I emphasize the word conceptual because it's a moving target. In 2020, there will be 10 contracts, 10 RFPs that are planned to be let. That will impact about 150 contractors, and there's some background work going on to make sure that they can meet the required CMMC level. Then in 2021, about 1,500 contractors in the defense industrial base will be certified for CMMC. And then from 2021 out to 2026, in a gradual crawl, walk, run approach, all contracts at the end of that time that are released by DOD will have some required level of CMMC certification, at which you must have the required level that's for contract award.
Hmm. Great. Crawl, walk, run. It sounds like what people do at Harry's sometimes. All the modes that someone could leave Harry's on a Thursday or Friday night.
Or enter Harry's.
Or enter Harry's. If you're not familiar with Purdue's community, Harry's is a famous bar here. Sorry to our French listeners if you didn't get the reference.
Should organizations do something now, even though their contract may not require it for a number of years?
Well, absolutely. What they can do now, if they have a contract that has the DFARS Clause 7012 in it, and they have controlled unclassified information, the biggest things that they can do now are, one, have a system security plan. Two, have a plan of action that addresses any gaps that they've identified in that system security plan. They really need an incident response policy and plan, and they should be registered on DOD's cyber incident reporting site so that they can quickly report within 72 hours. That's the current regulation, and that work will not be wasted because the vast bulk of CMMC level 3, which is where most manufacturers need to be, that is NIST 800-171, which is required by the DFARS clause.
So I think the follow-on question to that, to kind of wrap this segment up, is how can Purdue help?
Well, Purdue Manufacturing Extension Partnership has a grant, as I mentioned, from the Department of Defense Office of Economic Adjustment, and we're using that to provide educational webinars, seminars, get the information to our defense industrial base, because there are many companies that still don't know what the requirements are. So that's one. Additionally, we use that funding to subsidize technical assistance for cyber assessments and remediation.
So this is kind of a pre-assessment before the CMMC is fully rolled out.
Right.
Because there's no auditors yet.
Right.
Right. So that external audit has to come from a certified auditor. That's not quite defined yet. Something we're watching closely in CyberTap and in MEP both.
Do we know
we can help with pre-assessment.
Third parties achieve the accreditation to become certifiers?
Well, the accreditation board has just begun its deliberations and rule forming. I saw an article yesterday where Katie Arrington, the CISO for Department of Defense Undersecretary for Acquisition and Sustainment, said that the first pathway group of auditors will be trained at the end of April. So that's the first group. And it's important to note here that there is no company that can certify anyone to any CMMC level at this point.
There's some snake oil salesmen out there, aren't there?
Right.
Is what you're telling us.
Yes. And
I'm a CMMC auditor. You're calling shenanigans.
That's big shenanigans.
Okay, good.
That's the big S shenanigans on that one.
The big S shenanigans.
So if you Google for ads, you'll get lots of companies that say that they can certify you to a level. Not true, because there are no companies currently certified to do so.
Right. But we can help you be prepared.
Yes.
And that's probably what they're really doing, but I would stay away from companies that are already kind of falsifying.
Well, it's good to know because there may be a very quick turnaround between when you actually need to get certified and your first contract.
Yeah. So,
right. If you're, I mean, if you're a company, if you want to bid on a contract or you want to team with a prime in, you know, late 2020 or 2021, if you're one of those 1,500, it really doesn't matter if it's a graduated slope to 2026. You really need to be there at 2021.
Yeah.
And might I add that there's 110 controls in there, Mike, and it takes some time to get ready.
I would imagine.
Well, that's great. So, Gene, you killed it. Your first podcast episode ever. You nailed it.
We seem to have that with our guests.
I know they're good.
They know how to
we
do this. I don't know.
I wish we could get two good hosts.
Well, I think it's just, you know, the host and how they get you trained up. And
I was going to say, Gene, you really know your CMMC.
You
and George.
You got producer Jim over there. I'm dialing you
in. I got to give a shout out to producer Jim. He actually supplied me with my shellless M&Ms.
I know. It was ridiculous. I was scared to open up the little Kleenex in the container, but there were shelled M&Ms here waiting for Diva Mike. Unbelievable. Yeah. We don't want to. Yeah,
I
actually licked them all off. Did you eat any?
I need to up my demands.
I know. Wow. And George, thanks for joining.
You're welcome.
Always great to have an expert of your caliber in the chair with us talking about ransomware or whatever the topic might be. So we've got another episode in the books, Mike.
We're done.
Yeah, we're done for now.
We'll be back.
So give us, a like. No, we don't like.
No, we established this.
Well, thanks for listening to all you out there in podcast land. Wherever you're listening
Thank you, from, France, for stepping
thank you.
Up.
Yeah, France coming through big. Wherever you ingest, is that the right word? Ingest your podcasts, whatever service you go to. Now, this is all terrible.
Masticate? No. Consume, yeah.
Consume. Wherever you consume your podcast from, we'd love you to subscribe, follow, give us a review. As always, we'd love to hear from our listeners.
Actually, you can share it with other people, too. We'll
yeah,
take
that
on
would
more
be
listeners.
Great. Yeah, absolutely. And you can contact us directly. Mike, what's the email address?
See if I can remember this. I think I've said it in three of the four episodes we've done.
So I forget Cyber, it.
Yeah. cybertappodcast@purdue.edu.
We would love
is,
to hear
is somebody actually checking that? Oh, boy.
Okay, Eric, yeah. Technician well,
somebody,
Eric.
Somebody
is,
shook their head? Okay, good. Technician's on the board.
Yeah, so reach out to us at cybertappodcast@purdue.edu. We'd love to hear from you. Tell us what we're doing wrong. Or give us some examples of what you might like to hear.